and good evening, and welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, better known as Quest Community Vibration. We trust that you are in an environment of peace, health, and happiness. As we begin our program, I'd like to say to you that lyrics like poetry have a meaning. History, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we all can comprehend, like definition. News creates a chain of events that we don't always understand. Now just pull back the curtain and see the real contribution that you will find, and you will find our Quest moment, where we will attempt tonight to make waves. I want to once again thank you for joining us and hearing a different perspective of our diaspora. Before I begin, I would like to read the introduction, which allows us to make waves, and that is our Quest moment. A cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess a wave nature. You see, in our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which our airwaves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no, only will we make waves. Not only will we talk about issues, we will look at the possible solution. We begin tonight with our student host, who is on the line. And when I say on the line, I want to remind you that we are all on the line. In the midst of a pandemic, which has caused us to find different ways to communicate and get messages out. Our first segment this evening is Chains of Events. Chains of Events is an interpretation of news as it affects the minority community from the Alloys of North. A report on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science, and tonight on health. Chains of Events reveals the interpretation of one event to another so that, yeah, you will know what's going on. Now, without any further ado, Walter Pierce, our student host. Good evening, Walter.
Good evening, Mr. Bay, and everybody. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5. And, so for tonight's segment, we're going to be discussing prostate cancer. And before we actually get into the actual diamond, we're going to take a step back and we're going to discuss health, which is prostate cancer tonight. And basically what we want to talk about with prostate cancer is the effects that it has in African-American males. And see, I have an article here that shows that African-American males are 2.5% more likely to get prostate cancer than non-Latino white males. And see, there was a lot of questions of why that is, and some of the answers is that since the socioeconomics of African-American males, they're less likely to get these type of screenings, which you get at the age of 50 annually, which is supposed to. But the African-American males, they say, are less likely to actually get these screenings and to get the proper treatment that they need to be able to not actually contract prostate cancer or get any other cancer later down the road as they get older. So if you have anything also to add about that, I know you have a couple of things as we discussed earlier.
Well, when we talk about the healthcare system in America, and it seems that you mentioned it, you did mention socioeconomic conditions in our communities. I want to turn everybody's attention to an article that I picked up. Now, when I picked up the article, here's the interesting thing. I already knew that there was a disparity in the healthcare system in America.
Okay. Because there's a disparity in all of the systematic programs that affect our communities throughout this country. People of color have been going through systematic pain and suffering for a very long time. Walter, you have a lot of feedback in your background. See if you can clear it up.
So when it comes down to race and racism and discrimination, it reminds me of a doctor who invented the blood plasma, who just so happened to be black. And when he was in a car accident, what caused the death of his life was not so much the accident, but the fact that he had to ride extra miles just to see a doctor because he wouldn't be allowed into the hospital that was all white only. And so this particular article that I was able to pull up talks about understanding and addressing the racial disparities in healthcare. And it was written by David Williams, a PhD, and Tom Rucker, also a PhD. Now they have an introduction, and they talk about the racism and discrimination in America, and they talk about how it affects black people or people of color, the racism and discrimination, how it affects them in housing, how it affects them in the legal system, and how it affects them in every systemic system that this country has. And so it doesn't become a question. It becomes a statement. So, yeah, there are racial disparities in the healthcare system, which are minted out of the biases of the culture of America, where you think one person is better than another based on the superiority concept. That white people are better. And so in conclusion of that particular article, it just, as I read, it says, it is a national embarrassment that there are larger and persisting racial differences in health. The national information reveals, for example, that black people have had overall mortality rate that was 1.6 times higher than white persons in 1995, identical to the black and white mortality ratio in 1950. Moreover, the multiple causes of death, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and other illnesses of the liver have a radical discrepancy where it is larger. It was larger in 95 than in 1950. So without even reading any further, things haven't gotten any better as it pertains to the healthcare system. Okay. And so I think, Walter, I made my point. Okay. And so just to sum it up, the racial disparities that we see and suffer here in America, in housing, in the legal system, and it also is systemically affecting our healthcare system, and something needs to be done about it. And I think you have some information where we have found someone who has made a difference and provided some solution to some of this.
Well, yes, and before we get into that person, I want to thank you for also presenting that information. And the reason I let you do that is because I actually did have information. I didn't want to steal any of anything you were going to say pertaining to the topic. I was going to let you speak, and then I was going to talk about what I think right after. Now, it is. It's true. It's not really because, oh, black people are more – it's just something genetically. It's just something socioeconomically that African-American males are less likely to be able to afford or to get these yearly screenings or to even know about it, that they need to get it yearly at the age of 50 on prostate cancer, and it's something that we presented tonight, talking about what the actual problem is, what the true problem it is about. We're not getting the proper treatment. We're not getting the proper funding to be able to afford these type of things for African-American males. So I thank you again for talking about this topic and going into detail. Now, to go into the next segment that I have for today, it's diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, see, for today's diamond, it was actually sent to me by one of the viewers who I will keep anonymous, and they decided and they helped us talk about this topic, which is prostate cancer, tonight. And the person they actually sent to me, his name is Thomas A. Farrington. A little bit of background on Thomas A. Farrington before we get into the real information. He went to school and graduated from A&T State University with a degree in electrical engineering and started his computer software company and was a Black enterprise, top $100 million company. He retired after being diagnosed with prostate cancer. While at the Cancer Center in Atlanta, he wrote a book on his experience and treatment. It inspired him to start his Prostate Health Education Network to bring awareness and treatment to African-American men. Now, let's start talking about this this business, this idea he created dealing with prostate cancer. Now, see, he founded the Prostate Health Education Network in 2003 following treatment for prostate cancer in 2000 and the release of his first book, Battling the Killer Within, in 2001. Under Mr. Farrington's leadership, Finn recognized as the leading prostate cancer education and advocacy organization with national programs and initiatives focused on the needs of African Americans. A key foundation for Finn's success is his national network of prostate cancer survivors and the loved ones who support the organization's efforts within their communities. Finn partners with hundreds of churches across the country to bring education and awareness programs into their communities and recruits local prostate cancer medical specialists as faculty for these events. Finn also makes extensive use on online programming to reach and support individual educational needs. Mr. Farrington's background is in information technology. He founded the Input-Output Computer Services in 1969 and led his pioneering IT services firm for more than 25 years. Farrington currently serves as a member on the National Comprehensive Cancer Network's NCCN, Prostate Cancer's Treatment Guidelines Panel, and the NCCN Prostate Cancer Early Detection Guidelines Panel. He serves as a trustee on the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute as an advisor to a number of other healthcare organizations and programs. A bachelor in electrical engineering from North Carolina Agricultural and Technological State University in 1966. And that concludes my piece on Thomas A. Farrington. And as you can see here, we discussed how he founded FEN, again, Prostate Health Education Network, which networks with a lot of different churches and a lot of different communities to help bring awareness and bring awareness to the problem, which is prostate cancer in African American men. Again, we discussed why this problem is socially, economically, that's the problem. We don't have, Black men usually don't have the funding, and in our communities, we don't have the the awareness and funding that we need to be able to know about these certain things that we have to get and to be able to go into these hospitals and know what we need, because it is something serious. And again, that's Thomas A. Farrington. He has his own experience also with prostate cancer. He was someone who was diagnosed, and this inspired him to help others not have to go through the things he had to go through and to be able to be smart and to understand what they need to do as soon as they hit the age of 50, which is get these screenings. He's a successful, also, he's a successful person. He had, it was a black enterprise, which was the top $100 million companies, which is a huge success. He has a technological degree and background, so he already knew how to branch these off to different people and to network with different people. So, yeah, Thomas A. Farrington, thank y'all for listening.
There are a number of things motivated you, number one, to actually look into Thomas Farrington.
Again, a viewer suggested that we talk about Thomas A. Farrington for today. And as I looked into him, me and Mr. Bay had a conversation about it, and we looked even deeper into the problem, and we started to understand how we could relate this even further for today's show. Of course, again, African-American males being the highest people who contract prostate cancer, and we was able to dig and get information about the problem, which, of course, inspired and made it easier for us to talk about.
My next question is, if you had a word that would define for a definition Thomas Farrington, what would it be?
The word I have for today, we use a couple other times, and he's an innovator, you know. He's a person who starts, he's a pioneer. I could always, another definition you could use, a person who creates, who starts something for other people to start to get informed and other people to start to use. Because he did innovate this program for African-American males and for people, also of other races, to start to get informed and start to get educated on the topic of prostate cancer. Pioneer in this field, because you don't see a lot of programs like these from an African-American male himself starting these things, start to get people informed about prostate cancer, which is something that's very important. You know, you could say he's also a pioneer on that field. So those are two definitions that's used to describe Thomas A. Farrington. Two words, I should say, that's used to describe Thomas A. Farrington today.
Okay. And here I thought you would use the word education or educator. What happened to that?
Oh, yeah, he definitely is an educator. We could also add that into to another one of the definitions, because he definitely is an educator, a person who educated and talked a lot of people about what the problem actually was. You can combine educator with innovator. They go hand in hand. Somebody who creates something and also teaches it. And that's exactly what Thomas A. Farrington did. He taught the problem. He taught his experience to other people so they could know what to do and they could learn from what he had, which is what an educator does. They teach what they know and they teach the experiences they went through so other people could learn from their mistakes and not have, and just, you know, progress as they get older, because it is a terrible disease again. And, you know, we'll also add that in there. Thomas A. Farrington is definitely an educator.
Well, I'm going to take the time out to ask you, with the information that we've disseminated so far in this program, have you seen any way that we can have solutions to healthcare disparities? Does Thomas present solutions to healthcare disparities?
You know, yes, he does with the, as I read, with the multiple churches and the multiple branches he branches out to so that those type of communities could branch out to their people and tell them about the problem. He also gets the people who actually know about these, the experts, to be faculty in this process, in this program, who also does, I guess, does the test and teaches alongside with them about the problem. So I guess this, what he's doing is very good, but it's also more that needs to be done on the problem for African American males to be more informed on, because they have to understand these problems if they want to be able to survive this terrible disease and start to get informed, because it's something that's not always probably informed, or something that is not informed as much in our communities due to the economically differences that we have. It's something that needs to be taught more. And of course, what Thomas A. Farrington is doing is great, and it's good what he's doing for lots of people, thousands of people in this country. You know, we just need more people to start picking up on what he's doing.
Okay. Overall, and with prostate cancer being included, because I mentioned other illnesses that affect the African-American diaspora, Native American, Latino, Hispanic people in America have had a problem which is systemic. The solution would be to have more people of color and different backgrounds integrate into the medical field so that they can eradicate the biases and misunderstanding and misdiagnosis of African American people. And so if we have more medical doctors that come from our community in healthcare facilities, it would offset some of the biases, and that would be one of the solutions to the problem, according to the article.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ask ourselves, why is it systemic? We have to push our young people, people like yourself, to go into the medical field or go into the technology field, and don't be afraid to think outside the box and become innovative. And the thing, before it escapes my mind, is we have to devise more systems to be able to inform inner city community about the importance of healthcare and for their own personal being, and on a larger scale, encouraging their children to become doctors.
Yeah.
That, in my view, from the information that I gather, presents itself somewhat of a solution to the problem. But, the article and the information is very interesting, and I think we hit on some very good points. We have one of our supporters on the line. I'm going to ask, I know who it is, but I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and present a question or a comment to tonight's topic and focus on healthcare. 7035. Good evening. Introduce yourself.
Good evening. It's Valerie. And healthcare is very important. I did have another comment that I wanted to address, and that's about voting. Please, those who have been registered for years and are not sure if they're going to have some issues with the voting process, I went online just to check to see if, you know, if my voter registration. Now, I just voted in the primaries. And I went online, and it's saying I'm not registered. Now, I've been voting for years. I haven't changed my polling place. And when I went online today to check, it's showing that I'm not registered. So please make sure that, you know, your voting status is up to date and the way it should be. And now I have to go in to check and make sure everything is going to be correct come November 3rd. I didn't mean to change the topic, but I did want to mention that simply because I've been voting all of this time, and now all of a sudden my records are showing that I'm not registered.
Well, you know, basically when I use the word systemic and I talk about the legal system, the healthcare system, the housing system, it all boils down to the political system, which is also interrelated, definitely. Have you received your voter's ballot in the mail yet?
No. They were supposed to start, according to, you know, it was supposed to start going out on Monday. So it looks like, you know, the county courthouse area, they're going to have a lot of visitors.
Okay. So we need the public out there to be on their due diligence and be aware and step up so that they can practice their civic duty and get out there and be able to vote. Make sure you're registered, and please participate. Val has brought it to our attention that it's more important than just the president election, because all politics is local, and we have some local questions that pertain to the state of New Jersey, which are very important to our local politics, our local affairs that deals with people in New Jersey. So we encourage people, and we thank Val for bringing it to our attention. Val, I have to ask you before you leave, do you have any comment or question about health care? Am I putting you on the spot here?
Kind of.
I'll just take that as a yes. It's all right.
I do have comments, both good and bad, but just not at this time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that is easy for us to do is revisit particular topics Saturday show. Okay, with 90 seconds to go, I want to turn it back over to Walter. Walter, you're going to have to sum this up for us.
All right. So for the audience who's been listening, again, the main topic of today's show has been healthcare. We started off the discussion talking about prostate cancer and talking about the effects that it has in African-American males and why that problem is. We related that to a person that, again, a viewer of our show sent to me and told me to do, and that is Thomas A. Farrington, a person who's had prostate cancer, has been diagnosed with the cancer, and is a very successful African-American who's had a very successful business. And after he retired, he was inspired after being diagnosed to start his own business, which he, his own program, I should say, that deals with the knowledge and getting people, African-Americans and communities and minorities in different communities, the knowledge they need to start to understand prostate cancer and how detrimental it could be to your health and how important it is for you to know, because again, especially for older males in their 50s and older, they definitely need to start to understand this process so they could get their annual screenings for the disease. So yeah, that's been our show. That's been the main focus of today's show, healthcare.
Okay. Thank you very much, student host Walter Pierce, for a great job and bringing healthcare to the surface for discussion for topic and episode for this evening. As we conclude, I'd like to say that lyrics like poetry have a message. And tonight, lyrics had everything to do with the music of getting involved politically, getting involved health-wise, encouraging us to be more astute, not just politically, but with our own health. And, you know, don't be afraid to encourage your children to go into the medical field. And so, like always, we conclude, we are Quest Community Vibration, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is
the best youth radio.
And that's a wrap. Thank you very much for tuning in, and thank you for calling in. Until next time, peace.